You're listening to Grumpire with your hosts, Elby and Andrew.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Grumpire, the podcast that says it's okay to not like every movie you watch.
And I don't, but I like a lot.
Yeah.
You're Elby.
You're Andrew.
Yeah, and together we're Grumps. Grumpires. Grumps. The top of the Grumpire, like Empire. Grumpire State Building. What is that? It's just going to be like a mini mall? I don't know.
Perhaps an online storefront.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. What a segue. The queen of segues. Yeah, we've got a TeePublic store, so just look up Grumpire, G-R-U-M-P-I-R-E, on TeePublic.com, and you should find two designs right now, done by me, a.k.a. yours truly. That's what people usually call me. They walk around and they're like, hey, yours truly. I'm like, it's Andrew.
I've never heard that.
No, you haven't, because it's not true. But what is true is we have a t-shirt store open. It's more than t-shirts. You can get mugs or whatever. But anyway, it's pretty cool.
So our guest today loves horror.
He's a big horror fan.
Yeah. It's Justin Harlan from The Farsighted, which is his website. He also contributes to Synapse on occasion. Justin has a podcast called Grindhouse Messiah.
Which I've never listened to.
I have once.
Oh, you've been on it.
I know.
And I didn't even listen to that episode. I think you told me not to.
Well, this is because I'm terrible on it.
He says otherwise.
Oh, well, Justin and Blaine are cool, but Justin's also involved in the Buried Alive Film Festival, so it's really cool to have him on the show today.
Yeah, it is. Have a listen.
Welcome, everybody, to Grumpire.
Hi.
Everybody?
Hey.
Yeah, everybody. Elby, you're part of everybody.
Yes, hello. Hello. Today we have...
Who was that voice that we just heard?
It was God.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
I personally know that guy, and he doesn't sound like that. He sounds like me.
Ooh.
Wait, that's just voices in my head. I'm sorry. So, wait, who are you? What? Who's talking other than me?
Well, my name is Justin.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
that's what I was trying to get.
Hi, friends.
So, Justin, why are you here?
I'm here
on this earth.
On this earth, I'm here to chew bubblegum and kick ass or something.
No, wrong movie, dude.
Oh, dude.
Wrong.
That's actually a really good movie, not the one we're going to talk about in a few minutes. Yeah. I actually introduced my 10-year-old to They Live last week.
Oh, really?
Like, he completely loved They Live. The only thing I forgot about was that the final scene has boobs, and I usually avoid boobs with my 10-year-old, and he was like,
I'll look away.
He's like,
I'll look away, Dad.
I was like, okay, sounds good.
But he already saw them. That's
yeah,
funny.
It was too late.
Until I was 11 years old, I grew up in Europe around a bunch of statues, like old statues of naked stuff all over the place, and I was just like, not desensitized to it, but I didn't sexualize any of it until I saw it being sexualized. Then I thought, like, oh. But even then, most of the time, I could just, like, kind of ignore that.
Right.
It wasn't, like, a thing for me. So, like, don't sexualize boobs. And your kid's gonna be cool about
he's
boobs.
He's cool anyway. He wasn't really fazed by it. And it was more of a jokey, funny thing.
But I absolutely understand being in the same place with your parents while watching Doc Hollywood in the theater. Sandwiched between them, mom on one side, dad on the other side, both of them are super conservative, and she comes out of the lake totally nude in a PG-13 film, and Michael J. Fox is all ha wa ha wa ha, and I am trying to be invisible in the dark. It's just, yeah.
I mean, it's better than being in a well-lit room with your parents.
Yeah, of course, right? But I was stuck with them, right? This similar happened with Christmas Vacation, with the thong scene. You just try to go away, and it doesn't work because I have no magical powers.
Well, that's something you have to correct. You need magical powers.
Well, that's true. So, LB, any of your little...
Oh, it's stories about boobs?
Yeah, you just watched any old thing. You watched Real Sex on HBO with your parents around.
They weren't around, but...
I know.
They really did not keep a watch on what I was able to access as a child. So I saw a lot of R-rated films very early.
Like Major League's your favorite?
It was. Major League was my favorite movie
and
when I was
like one of
eight.
Those is about taking off each item of clothing per win.
I was going to say, isn't that like a major plot point in that film?
Yeah, it's a motivation.
A motivation. And you're a little kid going, I love baseball. Baseball's really good.
Well, I did. I did really like baseball. But, I mean, I lived in a house where, you know, when I was a child, and I'm talking like 2 and 3 years old, like I would find my dad's Playboys in his like little box for pot and just look at it and sort of just study it. So, like, I was always that kind of child where anything goes, I guess.
I feel like I'm learning a lot, and it's explaining a lot about what I've seen in your online persona. But anyway.
Oh, what are you trying to say, Justin?
I'm trying to say that you're a cool person.
Well.
I'm just, that was my recovery there. Did it work?
I assume it worked.
Okay, cool. you guys are fun.
Thanks.
Aw, you're fun too. So, we're here
Wait.
What?
I hear tell, Justin, that you got a bone to pick with me.
Oh, I sure do. I sure do.
It's buzzing around the internet.
Yeah, I mean, the only people buzzing with it are me and you, but still.
The Twitter is all a Twitter.
Yeah, that's true.
About it.
I have tweeted about it at least twice. So, I mean, yeah. So, I have a bone to pick with less about the take you have on a film and more about the way you got there. Your methodology, sir.
What?
So,
what?
So, you were correct in your rampant guessing as you couldn't wait for me, and that it does have something to do with the classic Adam Sandler film, Big Daddy. However, it's not that you like or dislike the film. It's how you got there. And I'm going to read a quote here.
Yeah.
I can do this with Adam Sandler movies. It's actually possible to say I don't like this movie and be correct without ever having seen it.
Yeah.
That's a major
Adam Sandler movies.
Oh man. There's so much wrong with this statement. I can't even go. Like, A, I have a problem with the methodology about any actor to just write them off as such.
I don't write every I see it. I didn't say
walk it back,
buddy. By seeing the trailer. Okay. But by seeing the trailer or the product. You know, like the VHS tape and whatever. Because that was back then when VHS was the thing and DVDs were just coming in. So I could see the product and I'd be like, no way. Going overboard? Heck no.
All right, Going Overboard is maybe the worst movie ever made in all of history.
And I never have to see that to know that.
I might be willing to go with the methodology when it comes to the movie Going Overboard, or perhaps
I have this really, it's innate. I don't know where it comes from. It's an instinct about Adam Sandler movies. What, at least for me, what I can stand and what I won't be able to stand, what I will be able to vibe out, it's a vibe thing. It's weird.
So you're not writing off all Adam Sandler, you're just saying you have a vibe about his other movies? Or have you written off all of Adam Sandler?
No, not all of them. No. No. I like Punch Drunk Love.
Oh, you like the shitty art house film. Got it.
Yeah, no. I liked Spanglish when I saw it, but I saw it one time and never again.
That's a good way to go with that one. Yeah.
You liked the Western one? You liked
I didn't like it. I put it on and I laughed at the
Are you talking about the Ridiculous Six?
Yeah, the Ridiculous Six.
All right, it's really bad, but in an enjoyable way. Yeah, it's a really like enjoyable type of bad.
Yeah, the diarrhea donkey and the baseball scenes, neither of which really have to do with Adam Sandler.
Yeah, but, that's fair.
But the baseball scene where they're making up baseball and he's just making up rules is hilarious.
Oh, I mean, that kind of feels like how baseball was probably really created, so.
Right, which is why I don't know baseball.
Baseball's weird.
I really don't.
You're not missing out on much, man. I mean, baseball is like maybe one step up from the movie we're going to talk about today.
What?
Whoa, what? Wait.
No.
Incredible segue.
You know what? You know what, though? Can I address Andrew for a second?
You're going to do that?
I'm going to do it.
Go for it.
I love baseball. I have always loved baseball since I was a little kid. It was just like a big part of my
family. Major League.
Yeah, hence Major League. Before we moved to Texas, we lived in my hometown in Tennessee for a little while. And there was a minor league baseball team in the town. And, you know, minor league games are really fun.
I'll agree with that. Minor league games are really fun.
Yeah, they're not the best. So they are very fun. So I took Andrew because he had never really been to a live baseball game before.
Well, wait, pause.
Uh-huh.
Church league softball is the only thing I've ever seen. And what I did was not watch the game, and I kicked dirt. So,
That's a good way to deal with church softball, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, Andrew grew up in Europe, so he wasn't really around baseball when he was a kid, so he never really played it or knew much about it or, like, the culture of baseball.
Right. Correct.
So anyway, we're at this game and there's a foul ball hit. We're sitting behind home base and the ball comes up and over the guard, and Andrew picks it up. Like, it goes right to him. He picks it up and he throws it back in.
That's awesome.
He throws it back in.
Because, hey, it's not my ball.
Like, the really terrible part is that there was a small boy, like, sitting near us who had a glove.
Two terrible parts, Elby. Two terrible parts. Incredibly terrible parts. The little boy.
Right.
And the bullpen of, like, what are they called?
Like, the statisticians. The statisticians. Who were there, like, all scouting. They turned around. They just, like, glare.
The most hate I've ever felt from people who never knew me.
Yeah. That's when you fake an accent, dude. That's when you're like,
well, I said I don't know bases ball.
Or something.
Like, I said bases ball. Absolutely.
Well, that works. That helps.
The little boys, I think it was his grandma who was with him. She kind of leaned in and was like, next time you can give it to him.
And I was like,
my heart is breaking.
Yeah, well, that's what happened to me right there, too, because I have empathy. I just don't have awareness necessarily.
Right.
So and I died inside a little.
If you watch more Adam Sandler movies, you would have known what to do with that baseball.
Shut your mouth. So you know. Don't tell me what to do.
Okay, anyway.
I'm just suggesting.
Okay, you can suggest all you want. Out the door, buddy. So, you had a perfect segue that was derailed.
I ruined it,
and,
I'm sorry.
And, well, let's get back to that segue. Perfect segue! What movie are you talking about that you just so direly dislike?
Yeah, so I'll be honest with you. I can't say I hate this movie. I'd say that in comparison to the rest of the world who pumps this up as the greatest thing since apple pie, sliced bread, whatever you want to insert there, I just think it's, like, thoroughly mediocre. Mm-hmm. And that movie would be Dario Argento's Suspiria.
Roses are red, violets are blue, but the iris is the flower that will mean the end of it.
Suspiria! You can run from Suspiria. You can hide from Suspiria. Suspiria. But you cannot escape Suspiria. The only thing more terrifying than the last 12 minutes of Suspiria are the first 92.
Justin, why don't you like Suspiria?
Well, I'll be honest. Most of the time, I like there to be a story in the movies that I watch. So that's the first problem I have with this movie. If you can tell me what the hell's happening in this movie, you win a huge prize. Because
okay, LB, I want you to try to tell the story of Suspiria. Because you're really fun at it. Do it. It's really fun
I'm really
when you
good
do
at
it.
Synopsizing things.
You're great at it. Go for
well,
it.
Well, you know, it's difficult for me to say what Suspiria is about as well, because, first of all, every time I've ever tried to watch Suspiria, I've fallen asleep.
Until this last time.
Until this last time, I strangely stayed awake, and I kind of understood it more. But also, I think maybe I understood it more because of the Suspiria remake that came out last year.
Which is vastly superior to this movie.
Yes, it is.
Except for one
is.
Thing, and I'll say the whole cooter on the chest thing, that was way too obscured, and the red in that scene was too dulled. It needed to be a little bit more of a reference to the previous version of the film.
Sure.
Just a little bit of a nod.
Sure.
Turn it up and have the cooter on full display, because it's a really cool makeup effect. Because there's a photo floating around. It's a promo photo of her, like, holding her open her chest cooter, all Cronenbergian style. It's cool. It's really cool makeup effect, and it's all obscured by digital blood. That's my gripe. That's my one gripe. Well, I have two. They didn't need to have Tilda Swinton do the old dude thing. I understand, but she didn't convince me.
Okay. But
sorry. Rant over.
By watching the remake, it actually helped me understand Argento's version more. Like, it kind of helped me fill in the dots story-wise. Just a little bit.
Well, it's coherent, right?
Uh-huh.
The remake is coherent. Now, Elby, get to the synopsis. Do it.
Okay. It's about a girl who goes to a dance school in Germany, that's like real highfalutin, and
it really is.
Slowly, we see a murder mystery unfold. And there are supernatural elements that are a lot more stylistic than they have substance. And then more girls die. And the main girl, Jessica Harper, she somehow survives and then leaves. That's Suspiria.
Right. And I mean, I think that's probably the best description I've ever heard of the film.
wait, LB, wait. You forgot to mention witches.
Oh yeah, witches and shit. Yeah.
Right, that there are witches. But that was the supernatural elements.
I guess. I mean, but you gotta kind of put a name on it. Buckwheats. Wait, that's a wrong movie too.
Huh?
Things to do in Denver when you're dead.
Oh.
Put a name on it.
I didn't get the reference either.
Sorry, yeah, I have that dumb reference because I have 13 other podcasts and that was one of the episodes. Sorry. It was recent too.
You know what else? I don't listen to any of your 13 podcasts. I just want to let you know.
Well, back at you, buddy.
It's not entirely true. I listen to this one because your wife is cool.
Yeah, she is. We have a false feud, apparently.
Yeah, I'm just making stuff up. I'm totally making stuff up.
Sandlurian? That's you.
I have two things about the new old Suspiria film, the one old that we're talking about, that I actually enjoy. Those two things are the soundtrack, mostly because I just like Goblin, and it's not even like the soundtrack as a score, I just like the music. I don't really care about the movie that's going on with it, and I just like any time Udo Kier's in a movie, period.
Okay.
And it's just because I like Udo Kier. And it's not even like he was fantastic in this movie. I was just happy to see him.
Right. Yeah,
I can support that.
Those are literally the only really positive things I can say. and again, I don't hate the movie. I just don't care about it at all.
Oh, like, no, that makes sense.
I try.
The movie goes out of its way to not help you.
You know, Argento has, you know, I would call it a problem, but other people really like this about him. But he has a thing where he purposely leaves out elements to the mystery to like help you solve the mystery. You know, it is not an Agatha Christie story at all. So when he does these purposely obscure things, it really leaves you scratching your head, and not in a fun way. You know, like
no, very alienating way.
Yeah, you know, you could say, you know, of course, Andrew and I love David Lynch, and he kind of does the same thing, you know.
Well,
but
yeah,
he does it in this way where there's like substance behind it. You know, when David Lynch asks a question, you ask more questions. You don't like go, yeah, okay, I don't really care, Dario, thank you. That's probably my number one complaint about Suspiria, is that it is not as deep as people make it out to be.
Yeah, it's not deep at all.
No,
it's a very shallow story.
There are certain elements to it that are interesting, like, you know, it is a fairy tale. You know, it has these influences of, like, German Expressionism and, you know, old folklore and things like that, but it just doesn't really run with it, and it loses its effectiveness.
So, I don't know how familiar you guys are with the entire, like, Three Mothers trilogy, and I've still only seen two of the Three Mothers, being Suspiria and Inferno.
Yeah, we've watched them.
I never saw Mother of Tears just because I was so tired of...
Don't.
I won't then. Okay, cool. Well, I mean, first of all, it's made in 2007, which is post-acceptable Argento era, I think.
Mm-hmm. You're correct.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly,
I mean, have you seen Dracula?
I started watching Dracula three times.
See? You're right. See, don't bother. It's convoluted. It's messy. It's also the shortest of them all.
Well, that's a plus, probably.
Yeah, that is. It doesn't work at all, and there's nothing to grab you. It's just bad. You know what's a better Three Witches movie is Rob Zombie's Lords of Salem.
Yeah.
That's I'm a supporter of that film, actually.
I am, too.
In fact, I would argue that film would be Rob Zombie's, like, magnum opus if he had just been willing to hire an actress that wasn't his wife.
Yeah, true. Probably. True. But you know what? It's probably her best work.
Yeah, she's still not strong enough to do that role. No, but still...
No, fine,
you're right.
But it's still probably her best.
Oh, I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
And so I really actually champ that movie. And, you know, according to the novelization of it.
Oh, which is awesome, by the way.
But it goes way too crazy.
Oh, see, I like the novelization.
What we have in the film is restraint, and restraint is good.
Mm. I guess I really like the novelization to the point where I was really disappointed that a lot of that didn't get filmed.
Because he was complaining about the budget. Like,
well, and also, one of his main characters died while they started filming. One of the guy who played Nathaniel Hawthorne. I don't know, some Hawthorne.
Nathaniel.
Yeah, Nathaniel. Like the historical Hawthorne. That guy died when they'd only filmed like two scenes with him, which is why there's only two scenes with him in the movie. And they were supposed to, you know, if you remember in the novelization, there's a ton of like him as like a witch finder and stuff and in the old days. And that's all cut out because they couldn't film it. So there you go.
Yeah, thinking about the finale, maybe. But anyway, that's a much better Suspiria sort of thing than, or the Three Mothers sort of thing than.
You know, as much as I disliked, or I just don't care about whatever you want to say about Suspiria, I watched Inferno once, and that was more than enough. So, like, I honestly, think Suspiria is like 10 times more palatable than Inferno, if that makes any sense.
But Argento, everybody loves Argento. I saw Opera, and Opera was great.
Opera's fantastic. I love Opera.
It's kind of great. Look, it's a little too tan for my taste.
Okay.
But it has really great camera work. The bird, that whole thing, flying around, the camera basically being strapped to a bird. I don't know how they did that back in the day.
It's pretty incredible. I'm a fan of the Opera. I'm a fan of Deep Red, too. But
I like it okay.
Profondo Rosso.
Yes.
But I want to ask you about the visuals, then. Because this is what, my preface to this, this is what I hear so many horror fans and cinephiles rave about. The visuals, the colors, the searing colors is so good.
I mean, like, they look bright and shiny, but, like, bright and shiny in a way like my kids colored in a coloring book when they were 4.
Yeah.
I have one scene that I really quite like, and that's the woman running through the forest. And I am like, that's a really cool scene. But I happen to like artificially lit forests. It might come from X-Files. I don't know. Or Spielberg movies where there's a forest and there's, like, light pouring through the forest. Where's the light source? Go towards that person running away. Anyway, that scene's pretty cool, but it's fleeting. It's really short.
People act like Dario Argento or Italian horror, like, invented this saturated color thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not true. Not true. I mean, you go back and look at, like, Douglas Sirk films, all those melodramas that he did. He has that. You know, and he's not the only one, I'm sure. But, like...
Well, Technicolor is how Argento did this.
Right.
Was with Technicolor, and that's the stuff that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Old Technicolor from the 50s
Right,
and 60s.
But if you watch the Sirk film, All That Heaven Allows, there are so many scenes that have the exact Suspiria lighting that it's kind of mind-boggling to me, like, how people think that Argento was the only person to do this draping cloths over the studio lights so that it, you know, just lights the scene in this color instead of putting gels on and, you know, things like that. Like, no, he wasn't an innovator, but, like, he used it to this great end. But I mean, come on, get real.
Well, see, the thing is, and this is going to be another another one of our guests is going to call me on this, I think, just like you did, about Adam Sandler. I'm going to say something also very controversial.
Not about Adam Sandler this time, though?
Not about Adam Sandler. I'm going to say it about horror fans.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it about horror fans and my experience with horror fans. And also my experience with being a horror fan at one time. I'm not much of one anymore. Very limited cinematic vocabulary. Because very often they just hover around horror or sometimes sci-fi, especially if it's horror sci-fi. Just hover around those things and don't branch out. Don't experiment. It's also like the current Marvel fan, the regular guy Marvel fan.
Okay.
Like, I know this kid. He's going to be 20 this year, and that kid only has Marvel and DC vocabulary and maybe a few other action movies like John Wick or something, but he doesn't have a cinematic vocabulary at all, because he only stays around this one genre of film.
And I mean, like, for me, like, as a horror fan, like, I definitely consider myself a horror fan, pretty hardcore one, but, like, I think that the horror I always love is the stuff that people will yell at me,
well, that's not really horror.
And
what?
You know, like, I like stuff that
name
that brands multiple genres, or, like, you know, like, people will argue all the time, like, you know, the
Silence of the Lambs is a horror movie.
Yeah, like, get bent.
Sure.
Give me a break. That's a horror movie. Like, I'm sorry,
I mean, I think it's just a thriller, but that's...
But what
that's
the heck is the dang difference, man? Like,
the dang difference is the exploitation edge, the focusing on the gore, primarily the thing there only to shock and not have too much substance. A thriller is, like, kind of a chase.
Oh, there's nothing like shocking at all in Silence of the Lambs.
Not nothing at all.
No, right. Not at all.
Absolutely not.
You're right, it's just
got
a thriller.
Moments, but I don't think that it's not horrific. is what I'm saying.
Right, right, right. I have a very broad definition of horror in general, is what I mean. And so, like, I think if it's scary or meant to scare... Yeah, Green Room's a horror film to me.
Green Room is absolutely a horror movie.
It's also one of the best films of the year that came out, in my opinion. Like, I love that movie.
It gave me PTSD, and I'm not diminishing it. I'm not diminishing it.
It's true.
I don't have a lot of life experiences in which I have to experience harrowing garbage. I've been in a few car accidents. Mm-hmm. That was pretty bad. But beyond that, the PTSD, that stuff stuck with me for nigh on 6 months, I do believe.
It's
where
true.
I was just like, LB, I can't stop thinking about his arm getting slashed up.
Oh,
LB,
God.
I can't stop thinking about the dogs ripping. I can't, you know, and it was really troubling.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
I saw that movie at 10:30 a.m. in a theater by myself.
Oh, my God.
Because a lot of times I use my kids being at school as a babysitter, and I'll take long lunches, like put in a couple hours at work and go watch a movie by myself. Or, like, my wife and I are, like, going to see Joker tomorrow, but we're doing it while the kids are in school. Like, I took a couple hours off of work, you know? So, like, for me, it's kind of a regular occurrence, but it's funny when you go to a theater and you're the only person in a theater for a movie that tense. Like, I was looking over my shoulder, scared out of my mind the whole time. Like, it was worse that there was no one there.
My friend Rob took me, and he paid for my ticket. He took me and was like, yeah, I want you to see. I'm not going to say a word. You're just going to watch this. Because he's been on my What Did We Just Watch show.
Okay.
So he knows about the strange and the things that I am always seeking. It was just Rob and I in the theater. So it's similar to you, but it was two of us. But he was kind of like watching me, seeing my reaction to everything.
Oh, man.
That sort of thing. Because he had already seen it. But yeah, anyway.
I was commenting on the fact that, like, I agree with you, though, about your assessment of a large portion of people who consider themselves horror fans.
Yes.
In fact,
that's what I'm talking about.
Blaine, my co-host for Grindhouse Messiah, and I often talk about, like, people who don't really like horror. They just like Hot Topic and Halloween. And that's what I feel like you're kind of getting at those people. Like, if you tell me that your favorite horror...
No, I'm not getting at those people.
Okay.
Those are other posers. I totally agree with you on those guys.
So you're talking about legit horror fans? Because to me, like, I know a lot of people who think they're legit, and they do watch a lot of horror, but they tell me all the time that, like, Halloween and Friday the 13th are their favorite movies, and I'm sorry, but...
That's what I'm talking about. That's who I'm talking about.
Okay, so...
They only want to talk about all those, franchises.
Child's Play.
And if a movie wasn't made in the 80s, it probably isn't good, but that's another story.
Right.
Yeah, those are who I'm talking
about.
The giant black shirt only wearers.
It's exactly what
I'm saying.
Yep.
Giant.
That's what I mean too. Yeah.
Double X, and they don't have to fit the double X.
I was gonna say because I wear a double X because I'm big. That's different, right?
No, you could be bigger or smaller or whatever, but they're always oversized black shirts.
Okay.
From shirt companies who shall not be named.
And charge $37 for a t-shirt? Those ones?
Yeah. And I'm not talking about Creepy Company because they don't do that stuff.
Okay. Well, I don't know who they are, but that's cool.
I've worked for them, so.
I mean, I don't listen to your podcast, so I wouldn't know that.
I don't plug stuff. I mean, that's just one plug that I've ever...
You just did.
Yeah, just now.
I just wanted to rip on you. It's fun.
And our own Grumpire shirts. We'll plug that. Or that's already been plugged, maybe. Or later. Whichever. So, are you at all impressed by the colors? By the cinematography?
I mean, there are scenes that I look at and go, yeah, those look pretty cool. But not in any way that's, like, mind-blowing or something. Like, if I want to watch something that's plotless and I'm going to be wowed by, it's going to be by someone like Yoderowski. It's not going to be this.
Okay.
Hmm.
So,
okay.
That's just
you ever heard of the movie A Mare?
I've not. I mean, I've heard of it, but I don't even know much about it.
Oh, you should watch it.
It's a very, very plotless sort of film, but it's all... And it's an exercise on visual style and nods. It's cues and stuff, too. Giallo stuff. It's really great.
Okay, I'll check it out sometime. I have this weird thing that, like, something has to be, like, have a story or be, like... almost completely and utterly plotless, and the in-between is like not okay. So, like, this is definitely doesn't work for me, whereas some stuff like that, like I said, that Yoderowski type of thing, you know,
what's the one movie that you brought to us that is the antithesis to this for you?
Well, this one actually has quite the plot, in my opinion, although it's not, I shouldn't say that, it's still not the most in-depth plot, but it's another Argento film. And as I mentioned before, I like a good few of Argento's films, but I brought to you Phenomena.
Jennifer is the new girl in a strange school. She's taunted by her classmates, haunted by a deadly secret.
Is she insane? Well, she's not normal.
And caught up in a murderous wave of terror.
When the murderer hides his victims, he likes to keep in physical contact with them.
But Jennifer's got a few million close friends.
Insects never hurt me. I love all insects.
You're in a position to do extraordinary things.
And she's going to need every one of them. Creepers.
That fly is your magic wand. Ask him to lead you where the dead bodies are hidden, and he'll lead you.
From one of the most acclaimed masters of suspense comes the chilling tale of a young girl trapped in a web of evil. Dario Argento's Creepers. It will make your skin crawl.
All right.
Something like a phenomena, baby. Uh-huh. Tell your body to come along.
Every single time I say the title phenomena, in my head I say it as phenomena. Do, 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 do. So.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm cooler than you.
I have the yeah, yeah, yes in my
head. Oh, really?
It's like something.
I don't know
like
if that's
phenomena.
Cooler than White Lines, though, Elby. Well, is that cooler than White Lines?
I don't know. In a way, but White Lines is probably cooler. Before we fully get into Phenomena, speaking of being cool, I have
Wait, what? You've got another one?
Yeah, you know I found this book of poetry, man.
I know, but I didn't know you had one for this. It's a poem for Suspiria.
Yeah, can you believe it? Like, I wrote this poem about Suspiria when I was in high school.
What are the odds? Okay, so our first episode is The Matrix?
Uh-huh.
And you have a poem that you just happened to have written.
Yeah.
For The Matrix. And this episode, just randomly, you flip through... And you find, oh, I wrote one for Suspiria.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Justin was like, oh, well, we can talk about Suspiria. I'm not too into Suspiria. And I'm like, you know what? I have a poem about that. What a coincidence.
All right. Let's get our giant oversized lattes and our beanies and our fingers ready to snap.
You guys want to hear this?
I'm ready. I literally have my coffee in my hand right now.
Wow. Okay. Well, here we go. Here's my high school poetry poem. Season of the witch? More like season of the bitch. I'm a dance school dropout, popping out of this cop out. Snooping like Nancy Drew's, $50 for ballet shoes. Specialized diet to keep me quiet, glass of red wine, in bed by 9. Maggots in my hair! Stumbled into the witch's lair. Oh shit, razor wire. Cover up the conspiracy, lost souls in captivity. All the colorful lamps in the world can't save me now. Witches get stitches, German shepherds so vicious. What the hell kind of school is this anyway? Done.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
I can't snap my fingers well, so you can pretend. I'm trying.
I'm snapping for all of us.
I'm trying to snap into the mic. It's just not working really well.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. You're crazy, Elby.
Nah.
Nah? You're not?
No, I'm completely normal.
All right, well, you and your beat poetry. Like, I'm going to say it probably every time. You're very influenced by So I Married an Axe Murderer.
I love that movie so much. Whatever the opposite of the Grumpire podcast would be, the podcast I would do about So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Well, you could still do a... No, you can't, because there's no negative analog to that. It's just
it's just perfect. No, it's just perfect.
Yeah. So, okay, so the positive analog is phenomena.
Right.
Ba-ba-ba-da-na. Right. You got me.
It's going to be in your head for a long time, man. Once you get stuck, you're done. So, like Suspiria, it occurs in a old girl's boarding school, but this one, instead of
Was this a thing for him?
Probably. I mean, just like... Like, in a lot of his movies, he casts his own kids, and in his later movies, they often show more skin than I would ever have my own child show in a movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the guy's got some weird hang-ups about young girls.
They're Italian.
That's true, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Naked statues everywhere. That's one of the places where I lived in Europe.
There you go. Italy. There you go. But instead of being a German boarding school, we're at a Swiss boarding school this time.
Also one of my favorite places to visit. And I haven't been since the 80s, but still, it's wonderful memory. Switzerland, I love it.
And there's a lot of other similarities as far as there being, like, a killer on the loose, and not witches per se, but more or less weird psychic powers and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of plot elements that are similar, except I just find this one so much more enjoyable. Young Jennifer Connelly is pretty awesome in this movie. I think it's hilarious to me, though, that she plays a character named Jennifer. I don't know, it just feels really like...
Sitcom. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she couldn't, like, respond to anything else. They just decided, all right, we're just going to change the name, finally. I don't know.
Well, this was her first major role, was
wow.
it not? Wow.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Her character is so much more charming mm-hmm. than Jessica Harper's character in Suspiria.
Well, you know, she's really feisty.
Yeah. Like, immediately you care about Jennifer. You don't care too much about Susie Banyan.
All right, so what's the brief plot here? I'm not going to have you do it, Elby.
So what, do you want me, to synopsize this?
Plot?
All right,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, synopsize it.
I could cheat and just do what I do on my other podcast and read the IMDb, but the funny thing is it's become a big joke. Because it never actually tells you anything in IMDb. It's like one long running sentence. I'm going to read it to you anyway, though. A young girl with an amazing ability to communicate with insects is transferred to an exclusive Swiss boarding school where her unusual capability might help her solve a string of murders. Actually, that's not that bad.
That is incredibly accurate.
Yeah, it is. Of course, that was written in one sentence with only one comma, so it's a really poorly written sentence.
There was no mention of Donald Pleasance. There was no
or
mention
a chimpanzee.
Yeah, that's what I was getting
at. So really the only thing that you need to know about this film to understand why it's so much better is there's an amazing chimpanzee in this movie. Like, he is just incredible.
Did you know behind the scenes of this chimpanzee? Chimpanzees that look like that are baby chimpanzees, by the way.
I didn't know that.
They're not full grown. Once they go full grown, you can't be around them. They're going to kill you. And this one, Dario, was like... I need the chimp in the scene, and I need you to stop the chimp from turning around. So what you're going to do is you're just going to put your hand on his shoulder, Jennifer. And so the chimp kept on turning around. So she finally did that, and the chimp bit her finger off.
It's true.
Are you serious?
Yep. Yeah, she's missing the tip of her ring finger or something.
Well, they sewed it back on.
Yeah.
But it bit her finger.
Oh, my Lord.
They were like, holy crap, take her to the hospital.
Where...
first-hand experience in Italy, they probably laughed at her, saying, basta, finito, in his... this is a personal story.
That's a story from your childhood.
Not hers, yes, I'm sorry. it's true, I hit the back of my head and bled from it at school, and then the doctors had to stitch me up, and they were laughing because I was in pain, saying, stop, finish, basta, finito, you know? And they were like...
A little American kid, ha ha ha, speaking broken Italian.
And they were laughing at me. Nightmare.
You have a lot of stuff behind those eyes, huh?
Yeah.
He does.
I do. Yeah. Not a lot of that stuff is brains, though.
That's fair. I'm sure there's a lot of brains. It might be damaged in some way, but they're there.
Yeah, car accident, head trauma. I'm just happy I'm not a serial killer by this point. I'm not.
Call the police.
So you weren't the killer that was being chased in Phenomena?
Not that I know of.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm just trying to tie it back in for you.
Yeah. Well, so this film has something else going for it, which is a complete abandonment of color. He does not do the color thing in this movie.
At all. Like, in fact, it's almost absent of color in a lot of ways. There are scenes that look almost like they're black and white, like in gray tones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When did you first see Phenomena?
In my mid to late 20s, so about a decade ago.
Okay. LB, you?
I'm not sure. I really don't know.
You're not sure? No. Okay. Probably sometime within our marriage. So, with me, also probably within our marriage, but my first experience with it was from the Incredibly Strange Film Show, because they were talking about video nasties at the time, and they used a clip from The Dead Pit in this, where she falls into this pit of maggots, water, mud, and dead bodies. And they used that as an example of, like, the things the British censors were not too pleased about. And so...
That particular scene does get me quite a bit.
It's so gross.
It's so gross.
so gross. And then the close-up of the maggots. It's just a close-up of maggots. There's, like, splashing. It's not even in the same scene, but it's close-up of maggots and mud, and they're just wriggling, and it's so disturbing.
There's a lot of shots of maggots in this movie. Maggots are definitely one of those things that definitely, just makes me crawl. Like, my skin just go, I don't know, like, talking about it right now, I'm starting to, like,
feel gross. It's called the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Yeah, I got the heebie-jeebies, man.
I don't mind them in film so much as, like, if I see them in real life, I'm like...
Bleh. Oh, they're so gross in real life, yeah.
But, you know, I appreciate the maggots in this movie, though, because it sort of... Something that people maybe forget about Phenomena is that it was... I think one of the first films to talk about forensic, you know, what do you call it?
Entomology. Elby, yeah. You want to just say right now what you want to have done to your body when you die?
I do. You know, I really want to donate my body to the body farm at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville so that they can just throw me out in a field and see how I decompose and use that for criminology studies.
Is that what they do? That's kind of crazy.
That's what they do. Pleasance's character was a pioneer in that field.
Oh, right, right. That makes... Wow, that's interesting. Mm-hmm.
So that's why the maggots and the sarcophagus fly is important.
Plot stuff.
Yeah, which makes this movie a lot more interesting than, Suspiria. But.
Yeah. Well, okay, so it's grounded. Also, one note that I didn't get to say is there was hardly any dancing in Suspiria.
That's bothersome.
Yeah, it totally is. All right, now that that's said, we're done with that. Now, did you know that there are three cuts of Phenomena? Did you know?
No.
Three different separate edits of the film?
Oh, yes, I did know that, yeah.
Okay.
I've only seen, I don't even know what edit it is, the same edit multiple times. I'm assuming it's the most common, like, international one.
Is it the really long one, or the really short one?
It's 116 minutes, just short of 2 hours, I think.
That's the Italian version. That is
the okay, well then, version, I'm pretty sure that's the one I have, yeah.
Yeah, that's the version that is actually has all the audio as efficiently as possible restored, but there are certain scenes that are in Italian and you can't do anything about that.
Okay.
But that's the one that's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
But there's a 110-minute one, which is just full of tiny, really tiny one-second edits here and there. Super small. And it ends up being 6 minutes shorter because of all those edits.
Then there's a good chance I have seen multiple edits and not even realized it.
And the American version was put out by New Line Cinema. And Jack Shoulder, who did Nightmare on Elm Street 2, took over the edit of that. And that one's called Creepers, which I have not seen.
So I know I haven't seen the Creepers edit. So what I've seen is I've seen it on the Arrow Blu-ray and I've seen it on Amazon Prime. So okay, I guess I have seen two different edits, but my guess is...
On the Arrow Blu-ray, is that an American release? Or
I have the American release of it, I believe, yeah. So is the Creepers cut significantly different?
Oh, yeah, it's 86 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Nearly 2 hours, so it's about 20 minutes shorter.
I would imagine that also means that you have to do some big changes with some of the soundtracking, if it's that much different.
No, they actually had the... Really? No, here's the cool part. They actually had access to the different elements of the film. So that they could cut and actually have overlapping sound where otherwise it wouldn't have been, like music where otherwise it
would. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's... Huh. So I'm really interested in seeing the Creepers version.
Although, as I'm saying this, I also have something pulled up in front of me that says Creepers leaves out the song Locomotive by Motorhead, and to that I give them a big middle
finger. Well,
that's true.
It does.
Because that's not cool. Yeah.
It cuts that scene out. But all the metal stuff in this, I'm not big on metal. Motorhead's okay, I guess. But
Motorhead's okay, I guess. I'm going to hang up now. I'm hanging up, okay? I'll talk to you guys later.
See you, bye.
No, I actually... So I have a really big affinity for Motorhead more because... I like the music. But less because of the music and more because my wife's uncle was Lemmy's best friend.
Lemmy passed away. I was just going to talk about Lemmy being like... the reason why I'm cool with it.
He's like, I know, that's awesome. I got to hang out with Lemmy once. It was really cool, really fun. I got to drink Jack Daniels with him, which was basically water to him.
Yeah.
But his best buddy in L.A. for the last 20-some-odd years of his life, my wife, Uncle Scott, he spoke at the funeral right between Lars Ulrich and Dave Grohl. Kind of weird to speak between those two guys. But it was crazy. We watched that simulcast, and it was so weird to watch like Scott up there. And my wife's uncle looks like Dog the Bounty Hunter, only like thin in the wrong places and big belly. So he's like, instead of having like the big muscles and the thin gut. Anyway. But so I have like a really strong affinity for Motorhead because of that, and because like Lemmy literally gave me a wedding gift when I got married. So,
aww. Aww. So sweetheart.
Right? I mean, it was an autographed picture of him, but still. I also got a belt buckle that he used to wear on tour. He gave it to me, so that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, it is a bummer that that's cut out, especially since you have a personal connection in some way. But I still haven't seen that one, but I have either seen both of the others, but it's kind of inconsequential which one of the others you watch.
It sounds like it, yeah.
So, but Jennifer Connelly is really cool and feisty in this. The stuff with the chimpanzee is just crazy to me.
It really is. Yeah. It's insane, but it's so much fun. Like, I don't know, like, there's just shots where I, the last time I was watching this through, I literally just kept pausing to get these screenshots of the chimpanzee doing something insane. And I was like, yeah!
You're talking about with the razor?
Oh, yeah. Definitely talking about the razor.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, okay, so they cut some of that scene down so that you could get a rated R in America. But, like, in the extended or the Italian version, it's just, like, the blade. Just get the blade out of that thing's hand. And I would not.
Well, now knowing that it, like, bit off Jennifer Connelly's finger, that was probably a dangerous as hell to be giving this chimpanzee an actual straight razor like that.
Yeah, and then having her hug the chimp at the end.
Right.
Just hug. Like, when did they have that the hug shot? Was that before or after it bit her finger off? Like,
oh, Lord. That's a good question. Oh, my Lord.
Things are shot out of sequence in movies, so.
Right.
Yeah, so, like, that's like, the basically me knowing about the finger is why the monkey is so crazy in that movie.
Yeah, no, that
so
is
I
nuts,
think
yeah.
It was an adolescent monkey, too. I think it was heading towards adulthood, which means, oh, no, it's going to bite your finger off.
So a puberty monkey?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, man, aww. That just sounds bad.
Teetering. Swinging.
There's all types of inappropriate, like, banana jokes to make right now and stuff, yeah. But I'm just going to move away.
So, LB, what do you think of the phenomenon?
That's the John Travolta movie.
Dang it! I threw the N on there.
Yes, you did.
Gah! I failed.
I like that movie. Okay, I haven't watched it in a long time.
I've never seen it.
It is a tumor.
It's not a tumor anyway.
It is a tumor.
Yeah, it is. It is a tumor. You're right. Wow, bad jokes. Bad jokes abound in this episode.
Every episode.
Right.
Well, I do like phenomena.
Yes.
Phenomena.
Do, 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 do.
Stop. I'm going to kick you off the show.
I do enjoy it. I would say that it is my favorite Argento. So
I think so,
that.
Too.
Is there any other Argento you consider yourself a fan of?
I don't remember liking or disliking Opera, but I do know that it is one of his better ones.
I think Card Player is pretty terrible.
Card Player.
Yeah, it's
I don't
terrible.
Know. I remember we didn't make it through Tenebrae. We tried, but we couldn't.
Yeah, I can't either. Yeah.
Deep Red's okay. It's okay.
Profondo Rosso.
There was a period of time where I really loved it, and now I think it's good, but I definitely think it's the third of his movies for me. Of the three that I really like, it's the one I probably like the least of those three, which being Phenomena and Opera being the other two I really like.
Right.
No, Opera I had a hoot with. There's a certain thing that goes on with certain Italian ways. I think it's the dub and how it's ridiculous always. It's always ridiculous. And Opera has a lot of ridiculous reactionary dub, and it's really fun that way. And of course, I like some of the cinematography. Really cool camera work.
Mm-hmm. We watched Bird with the Crystal Plumage recently, or within the past few months. I liked some elements of it, but again, it's just not really my bag. You know, you remember, Andrew, after we watched Piercing, and we looked up the films that influenced Piercing, and that was one of them.
I really liked Piercing.
Yeah, that one's really good. But ultimately, it's just really just not my thing. I can't get into giallos in general. I can't get into which stories in general. There are some exceptions.
What don't you like about giallo films in general?
I think the pacing really throws me off. To keep me interested in a mystery, there has to be elements of me being able to figure things out as it goes along. And to me, giallos don't really have that. It's just a series of killings with the black glove, you know.
So, LB, like, your perfect giallo would literally be a giallo adaptation of an Agatha Christie story.
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah, I would be down stylize
that. Why don't those exist?
Stylize a Miss Marple episode.
Sure.
Giallo-like.
Yeah.
I would love to see a little Hercule Poirot.
Okay.
Yeah. But so it would have to be hyper-violence, though. You'd have to have entrails or eyeballs being poked out.
Right. That's the thing slashed. That where I end up enjoying remakes of movies a lot more because they take the elements of the original material. They take those elements that are cool, but they like update them to like modern sensibility. And I'm not just saying like put them in a modern setting. I'm just, I mean like...
Technique
that is more in tune with like... you know, the edginess of the time. And that helps me a lot. So that's why I really like the Suspiria remake a whole lot. That's why I like films like A Mare and Let the Corpses Tan and, you know, things like... And what is the giallo one? I can never remember.
The Strange Color of Your Body's Tears.
Yes. Like, I like those movies a whole lot. It's just because they have more of things that are appealing to me as a person of... 2019, you know? So, I don't know, I mean...
No, that's fair. I mean, that all makes a lot of sense. I think I'm somewhere in between. Like, there are some giallo films I really dig, and there's some I really don't, and I don't necessarily know that I have a lot of good explanation as to why for either one. So that's fair, but I definitely will get what you say about, like, remakes being more updated, more with the time. I'm kind of along those lines with a lot of movies as well.
Yeah. You know, and it's not to say that those movies for the, you know, that were made in the 1970s or whatever are bad per se, but, you know, there's just something about them that just does not appeal to me. So, but I do appreciate, like I said, some of the elements that are drawn from them for modern filmmakers. It's putting their own spin on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't really argue with any of that.
So, I believe this is the end of our time with you. Justin?
I'm going to miss you guys.
Aww. You can call us anytime you're lonely.
I mean, usually only a couple nights a week. Otherwise, you know, I got my wife to hang out with. She plays roller derby, so tonight's roller derby practice.
What's her roller derby name?
Yeah. It's now Clown Baby.
Okay.
Are you Always Sunny in Philadelphia fan, perchance?
Not a fan, but not a hater. We've seen it. We don't watch it.
Yeah, there's an episode called $100 Baby that it's particularly based on. So you watch that episode and you would get the reference of Clown Baby.
Okay, what's your roller derby name?
I'm Mr. Clown Baby.
All right.
I do work the bouts and stuff. I technically was like security. I was a brawl breaker. So our version of roller derby is non-competitive, and like we don't play against other. She used to do that with the same group, but they kind of decided to do kind of this internal, more fun, theatrical version. And so they have like fights and stuff, and we have to actually break them up and all that. So that's fun.
Wow.
Mostly, I just do the social media during the bouts now. So
that sounds intense.
I'm a nerd. Yeah, it's fun.
Well, Justin, thank you very much for being on Grumpire.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you.
So, how do you like that, Albie?
That was cool.
Pretty fun.
Yeah, it was fun, and Justin's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, all that back and forth between he and I is because neither of us listen to each other's shows.
But maybe you will now.
Maybe.
So you can find Justin on Twitter at ThePaintedMan. You can see his blog, The Farsighted, at farsightedblog.com. That's FARSIGHTEDBLOG.com. Also, his podcast is called The Grindhouse Messiah. You should check that out. It's a lot of fun. And the Buried Alive Film Fest, which is an indie horror film festival, takes place in Atlanta every year. That's buriedalivefilmfest.com.
And of course, you can find us on Twitter at Grumpire Online. And of course, you can go to grumpire.com. And while you're at it, if you don't see the post there about the shirts, just go ahead and take a look at tpublic.com and type in Grumpire.
All right.
Yeah, so that's it.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Arrivederci.